Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Why vote? How to make your voice heard in a world of broken politics, swamped beneath the tide of fake news, wars on woke, and social media storms life's democracy. Joe Phillips and David Seymour guide the reader through the workings of government and parliament and make a passionate case for the power of democracy. Delighted to say that joining me live on the line is Joe herself. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. Listen, government is broken. Don't vote, the government will get in. It's all fake news. We're being run by Russian bots, if not Chinese bots. Why should we even bother, Joe?
Well, for all those reasons you've just said, because the biggest single danger to democracy is apathy, in my view. And, I mean, the book is, it's not necessarily aimed at, you know, people who are voting for the first time, sort of 18, 19-year-olds. But it is aimed at the great majority of people who go, oh, they're all the same, it won't make any difference, what's the point? Because when you talk to people, they say, oh, I'm not interested in politics. But then you talk to them and they say, oh, yeah, I'm really worried about housing, cost of living, the environment, transport, infrastructure, and so on and so forth. And all of those things are determined by politicians. And if we don't use the vote that we have got a right to get the politicians who are going to make sure that they do what we want them to do, then, frankly, we end up with the politicians we deserve. And I think it's... I mean, I think it's really difficult. You touched on the whole thing about fake news, which is a real problem. And we've seen, you've probably seen it as well, the story today that Whitehall sources are saying that Russia, China and Iran were behind some of the sort of the fake news and the social media trolling towards the Princess of Wales, which, you know, arguably led to her having to come out and say that she's being treated for cancer when maybe she'd have preferred to stay private. We know the Russian interference in the 2016 American elections. We know that there's an awful lot of absolute rubbish out there. And one of the problems is that we're swamped with information, but we seem to have lost the ability to discern what's real and what's not. And that's really, really important.
The other thing, of course, is the fact that I'm, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you, but I'm sitting here in a studio in Spain. And as a British citizen, I am no longer a European. Now, I came to Spain in 85. I grew up a European.
Yeah.
That was, and I wasn't allowed to vote in the referendum. Therein lies the rub. But
yeah,
if you don't vote, as you said, you get, not only do you get the politicians you deserve, but you get the policies that you deserve. And the apathy with people saying, oh, well, we don't need to vote for Brexit because basically we know we're going to stay in Europe. And then we all woke up one morning and go, well, what happened there then?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the turnout figures, you know, across Europe for the European Parliament elections in 2019, it's only just over 50%. There's a huge turnout, 88% in Belgium, but in Portugal, it's only 30%. If you look at the figures here in the UK, the number of people voting in the 2019 election between the age of 18 and 34 was 53%. But the over 65s are 77%. Now, you know, it's your future if you're 30, 40, 50. Why are you letting people over 65 determine your future? Because, you know, I know it's very sort of, it's very, we want everything instantly, and no politician in the world, despite what they promise, is going to be able to wave a magic wand and change things. But I think what we've seen, and you touched on it just now, Giles, with Brexit, you know, if younger people had voted in the same numbers as older people, well, you know, maybe the result would have been different. You know, we could have 3.5 hours on whether a Brexit referendum was a good idea, or whether, in fact, David Cameron needed to take any notice of it, or could have said, actually, we've got to have a 10% difference before we take it seriously. But, you know, those days are gone. And we've all woken up to that. We've had Brexit, we've had COVID, we've got war in Ukraine. We've got war in the Middle East. We've got this cyber war going on. We've got huge issues with China and huge issues with Russia. And the sort of global stability is changing. And it's really important, I think, that people do have a say. And I think, I mean, I'm a great advocate of lowering the voting age from 18 to 16, because I think if people get into the habit of voting, young people are interested and they do care about their future and they do care about things that are going to affect them. And, you know, life changes. You know, you care about tuition fees when you're 18, 19. You care about the cost of living when you're in your 30s. You care about childcare. You care about social care when you're older and you've got older parents. You know, all of those things change. So the idea of saying to people, oh, well, you don't know enough about it, is absolute cobblers, frankly.
The thing is, we, you know, I, like I said, I grew up in the 70s and 80s as well, and we had, my voice is cracking with the emotion, and we had politicians, we had the politicians of grown-ups, in government, and I know that's a slur maybe on some people, but there were policies that people could get with, and they were for change and reform. I mean, the policies of Thatcher, etc., people voted for them because you'd own, for a lot of people, working class people, to own your own council house, etc., to smash the power of the union, so you could set up, you know, this, whatever. You may not like it, or you know, like it or loathe it, but those were policies that made sense. And as opposed to now, where we're having policies or ideas that there's no ism in it. So, for example, you know, a war on woke isn't the sort of thing to get people's blood pumping. There's no great social change. We're not looking at the NHS or the welfare state or etc.
No, because all the time you're saying, oh, look, hang on, isn't it disgusting? There's a council over here that's going to have diversity officer. Well, you know, diversity means helping people with all sorts of disabilities to access libraries and sports facilities and, you know, get into work and stuff like that. So all the time you're looking over there and getting angry and the Daily Mail is running a, you know, a fury piece, a Twitter storm and all the rest of it, nobody's asking the serious questions. And you're absolutely right, Giles. You know, if you go, whatever you think of Thatcher, she came in with a very clear vision of a country that she wanted. She had really smart people around her. And she set out doing that. Tony Blair did the same. What we've had over the last 15 years, and you say there's no ism. Well, the one big ism, frankly, is narcissism in the personification of Boris Johnson, who has done more to destroy democracy and faith in the parliamentary procedure. We've had 6 prime ministers in, you know, a few years. The last two, Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, they were actually put in place by less than 1% of the electorate. You know, the Conservative Party members for Liz Truss, and look what that did for us, and Tory MPs for Rishi Sunak. And they're even today talking about another leadership campaign. Well, hang on a minute. This isn't about the Conservative Party or the Labour Party. It should be about the country and our relationship with the rest of the world.
But surely this should also, whilst we're getting distracted about the colour of an England, of a St. George cross on the back of a bleeding football football shirt, or, oh, look, a small boat coming across the channel, there are insidious inroads being made on things should be getting angry about, like the fact that Home Secretaries have made peaceful protests, you know, a problem. Yeah. It's going to be more difficult. And also, you know, people talk about, oh, well, young people don't get enough exercise, and yet the cost of living goes up, and meanwhile libraries are being shut, and, you know, public sports facilities are being turned over. And these are things that people should be protesting about, getting angry about, and voting about.
Yeah, I absolutely. And, you know, obesity is a perfectly good example. We know it's an obesity crisis. It is going to cost the country millions and millions and millions of pounds. At the same time, we've got, oh, I'm going to get people back to work, says the hard-hitting Chancellor. This is the same man who says, you know, it's really hard to live on £100,000 a year. Hello. You know, be connected, for goodness sake, read the room. So the successive governments, not just this particular one, could have done anything. You know, there's been Jamie Oliver, there's been Henry Dimbleby, there's been Prue Lee, there's, you know, you name it. Any number of celebrity chefs and food experts have said, you could do this, you could change this, you know, change school meals. Give every kid good quality, free school meals. At least we know they're getting something different and nutritious every day. That would cut costs. It would make people active. It would help the country. We would be more economically active and we would probably have better mental health. There's all of those. Social care. Everybody says, oh, yeah, we're going to fix it. And nobody does. And you're absolutely right. You know, people should be protesting. But, you know, if we talk about protest, I mean, protest is performative and I'm sure it's terribly, terribly attractive and fun on a lovely sunny day to go and, you know, chuck a can of tomato soup over a picture in the National Gallery.
They don't move. They're quite easy targets, statues and pictures.
Exactly. But meanwhile, you know, if you're blockading the roads in London, you're holding up people like paramedics and teachers and cleaners and security guards and people trying to get to hospital and to work. It's not actually helping. It's much better to vote.
Exactly. And here's my point, you see, because the politics is hard. You know, politics, as you said before, it's no quick fix. You don't press the button marks. You see, that's a B. This is electronic. But you don't tick the box marks, you know, one part or the other. And the next day you wake up and the sun is shining and we have a perfectly functioning work and everybody's got jobs and the whole thing. Politics is incredibly hard. And people should go into politics, and a lot of them do, I would still hope, for reasons to serve the community and to help their fellow man, woman, whatever you want to call it. And so, therefore, it's a long slog, and it's compromise, and it's thrashing out deals, because life is messy, and so is politics. But we, yeah, in an age of where we want instant hits, then throwing a can of paint or chaining yourself to a bit of roadway to say, just stop oil. And we know we have to move away from oil. We know that those, yeah, are going to live forever. You know, those sources won't be there forever. But you've got to go about it in a bit more of a grown up way.
Yeah, well, I have to say that I thought it was absolutely wonderful that the previous Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, who, as you just alluded to, sought to bring in and curtail the right of people to protest. And one of the phrases in the new law was to stop locking on, you know, chaining yourself to railings. Suella Braverman is a woman. She wouldn't have even had the vote had it not been for suffragettes chaining themselves to railings. You know, and you sort of think, what about the people who marched against apartheid? What about the Greenham Common Women? What about people who've marched against nuclear weapons, you know, against poverty, unemployment, and so on and so forth? We didn't always do it on social media.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, you mentioned the fact that Suella Braverman is a woman, and for many of us, the jury is still out on that, and I'll get canned for that one. But what I'm saying is that, you know, that piece of legislation has been brought in very much against a certain set of people. Whereas my immediate thought was, I was in London I remember going to London in the 80s, and there was the 24-hour vigil outside the South African embassy on Trafalgar Square. Yeah. I was active in the UK in the early 80s, because people look back now in the 80s and think it was all red braces and big mobile phones. But yeah, I remember, you know, member of the CND, member and the women at Greenham Common, who were there for ages. Again, that wouldn't have happened. So you have to be very careful with the policies that you're bringing in.
Yeah, and, you know, the government has brought in this ridiculous rule that in order to vote in the UK, you've got to take photo ID. Now, you know, that's fine if you're an old person with a bus pass with your photograph on. Sometimes younger people's photo ID hasn't been accepted. Lots of people, for lots of reasons, don't have passports, don't have driving licenses. The Electoral Commission reckons that is about 15,000 people who couldn't vote. They were turned away. But what it does, it dissuades people from voting. And if you start doing that, you begin to manipulate the votes. You know, I'm not saying we're going down the route of Putin, God forbid, at the moment. But you have to watch, you know, and everybody who's talking about free speech and getting crazy about wars on woke and cancel culture, they're not looking at the underlying things where we've had prime ministers lying to Parliament, lying to the Queen, lying to the public time and time again, and they're not held to account. And the other thing is that what we've got is this systematic reward for failure. You know, you don't manage to do anything other than pay your shareholders if you're running a water company, but you're pumping sewage into the sea and the rivers and everything else. Oh, you don't, you know, you might give up your bonus, but you'll move on to another job. You'll move on to another non-executive directorship somewhere because of your mates. And it's up to us to change it. And we can do it. We've got to use the power.
You see, in the States, there's been a big campaign for using your vote. And you've had people coming out saying, go vote. I mean, presumably, you know, mainly on the Democratic, you know, lots of my, you know, I got friends on the East Coast, I got friends on the West Coast. So therefore I don't do those ones in the center. So, you know, I am that media lovey liberal, as you can probably tell, Joe. But
you and me both.
Yeah. But we, you know, engage, get your Stormzy's, get your grime artists, get your actors and actors, say, go and use your vote. Because if you just go, it ain't going to change, and it's not going to change. And
exactly.
And that is the way that you do attack the fat cats and hit them where it hurts, which is basically in their electoral in their pockets, if you will. So how do you go about writing this in a way that's accessible and understandable?
Basically explaining it, but not in a sort of a school book sort of way, but just to say this is how it works. It's not just about MPs. It's also about local councils. And local councils, actually, I would argue, have a more impact on our daily lives than Westminster government, because it's about the bins, it's about the roads being cleaned, it's about libraries that you referred to. It's about all the sort of things. It's about parking charges. It's about business rates, so on and so forth. So that has a huge impact on our daily lives. So, and I absolutely, just to go back to what you said earlier, most people, I think, go into politics for the right reasons, and particularly at that local level. You know, and across Europe, you've got very powerful and much better system where you've got mayors who've got much more power. We've got a little bit of that in the UK with people like Andy Street and Andy Burnham, and they are doing things, and also they're working together on the nonsense that was HS2 that has now completely unravelled and is HS, I don't know.
That should be the new title for it, by the way. HS, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. The train just leaving. Missed it. So, you know, there's all sorts of system I've got. So the book is basically explaining how politics works, a bit of history, because I think it's quite hard for people to grasp it, unless you're a political geek like me. You know, you sort of think, I don't know what a select committee is. I don't understand what it means when a bill like the Rwanda bill is going backwards and forwards between Parliament and Lords and things like that. So this is how it works. This is your part in it. And it's really just trying to say to people, you know, you've got it. People across the world are still prepared to die for the right to vote. We've got it. We should use it, and we should, okay, you can go and spoil your ballot paper. You can do it by post, but don't just turn your back on something that's so precious.
The book is called Why Vote? How to Make Your Voice Heard in a World of Broken Politics. It's by David Seymour and Joe Phillips, who we're speaking to today. And the book will be available as you can order it via our own virtual bookstore. Joe, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you this morning.
Lovely. I hope to be back with you another day. Thanks.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. the sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.